You're in the 06010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. It is Monday, December 14th, and we are like Guns N' Roses. The band is back together for the first time in much longer than I can remember. It's Field Yates, Stefania Bell, Daniel Dopp, and to my left, screen right, Matthew Berry. Hello, sir. Welcome back.
Hey, good to be back. Did Guns N' Roses ever actually reunite? I don't believe they ever did.
They reunited briefly, but they reunited.
Did they? With everyone, including Secret Squirrel, you're
this
like
is
the,
more
you're
your
the music guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm even not... like, didn't, like, wasn't there a huge falling out with, like, the drummer in Duff, the drummer?
I think so. I feel I like they reunited, but not with the original cast. I think that's what it was. Like, when they got back together to do, like, some shows, was it the whole was
I don't
the whole
think
group?
It was, like, Slash Maybe and Axl and Duff and whoever the other guy was. What?
Could we be the New Kids on the Block instead? That works, right?
Sure. Okay. Sure. NKOTB, did they get back together?
Yeah. Who was it? They're still together now.
Are they?
Yeah.
Stefania, you follow the boy bands.
Are they senior citizens on the block or what?
Pretty much.
Oh, wow. New Kids on the Block is like, it's got to be a whole set of new
kids. In fairness, Stefania.
It's just their kids.
Please call her Salty Stefania because they're 49ers. In a home game.
Oh, right away? That's where we're going?
In a
That's
home game.
1,000%.
Start the show. Bye-bye.
The first thing, when I got
liked
home.
Liked it better when you were home.
I said to Beth, I said to my wife, I said, Stefania owes you wine. And she's like, she does? And I said, yeah, we bet wine on the show today, this morning, about the 49ers. And my wife is the wine drinker in the family. So,
respond to my tweet when you said, Stefania, what are your thoughts? And I said, yeah, where's my wine? Because I lost twice yesterday, and it seems unfair to see Alex have an injury and my 49ers lose, and the 49ers have more injuries. I thought just that alone made me deserving of wine that you should gift me for having to endure what I did yesterday.
Wow, that's some weird Princeton logic right there. Yeah.
A lot of people on Twitter agreed with me. That's all I'm going to say.
Before we get into the football
but
news.
But anyway, good to be back. Very good to be back. People were... including you guys, obviously, and thanks to all of you and Mike Clay for filling in while I was out. Everyone, I got so many incredibly kind texts and DMs and tweets and comments on Instagram from my story that I posted last week, how I had tested positive for COVID-19. I obviously tested positive a while back. I tend to write my stories in... you know, after everything's already sort of happened, like I don't actually write my stories about my life in real time. So obviously I've been, you know, medically cleared by everyone and I'm fine and I'm good. But anyway, it meant a lot. The support and outpouring of love was incredibly grateful. It meant a ton to me and to Beth and to my entire family. And so just thank you. Thank you very much to the 0601 Nation and thank you to my family here.
Well, it's great to have you back. The show is not the same without you, but it's great to have you back for the home stretch of the season as we are not quite done with the first week of the fantasy playoffs as we do have one more game tonight. But let's look backwards before we look forwards. And a player that possibly you made the playoffs without this year is Christian McCaffrey, who obviously has missed all but just a few games this season with a variety of injuries. And Stefania, many of us were hopeful after the Panthers bye that he would be back from a shoulder injury, and yet he missed Sunday. It's a quad injury, I believe. So we're at the point now where, again, if you've survived this far, it's in spite of, not because of Christian McCaffrey. Is there any hope, though? Like, let's say, of course, we have two-week semifinals here on ESPN, so if you either have a lead or you need a Hail Mary in week two of that semifinal, could Christian McCaffrey be the player that pushes you over the edge?
I think so. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be getting rid of him. He has expressed that he wants to come back. Matt Rhule has said they've not ruled him out for the season. I mean, they are operating right now as if Christian McCaffrey is returning. At least that's what they're presenting to the public. And McCaffrey had a quad issue that you mentioned that tightened up in Wednesday's practice. And I think Look, the way they've been managing him, it was consistent with how they've managed other things. There was no sense in pushing him back out there after waiting for him several weeks for a shoulder injury just to have him develop something else that would turn into a multi-week problem. So I'm of under the impression that he could potentially return this week.
Well, that would be great. If not, you know, I don't want to make this easy because it's a player's injury, but it is easy in the sense that we know who steps up and we know what he's capable of. It's Mike Davis, who yesterday had yet another very productive fantasy day. 26.3 fantasy points for Mike Davis, his second best outing of the season. Let's go back to you, though, Stefania, on Josh Jacobs, who it's already complicated enough when guys are coming into the game questionable, and there was a lot of reporting on Josh Jacobs' status going into the game yesterday. It was the player we talked about during Fantasy Football Now, and everything was looking good until, like, I don't know, 5 minutes after the team announced its inactives, which Josh Jacobs was not a part of. And we're like, woohoo, he's playing. And then Josh Jacobs took the Instagram and things got a little bit hairy.
Well, I was surprised at how many people fell for it, honestly, because
Stefania, Instagram is where all thirst traps take place. Like, people are constantly...
Wait a minute. Hang on. I'm jumping in here for a second. What do you mean how many people fell for it? A player actually announces a status, his own playing status.
With laughing, crying emojis. And yeah, but, what have you... I'm going to interrupt you.
Yeah, go
Because
ahead.
I know where you're going, and I don't need to hear it. Because what I'm going to answer it with is, you have talked consistently, you, Matthew Berry, about how tough Josh Jacobs is, how much he wants to be out on the field, how he is pushing to play all the time. I confirm that. That's the type of player he is. Everything has pointed to him playing. The last thing Josh Jacobs is going to do is go out there and go, oh, sorry, guys, I'm not playing.
Except
after
we
the
don't
Raiders.
Know.
No.
Hang on, Stefania. Hang on. No.
When the team posted the inactives and he was not on it, and he later tweets that, I'm sorry, you can disagree with it, but there's no, people shouldn't have fallen for it.
I totally disagree with that, because first off, players have announced their own status on social media many, many times and are often correct. You know, I think about Devontae Adams, you know, earlier this year saying, like, how upset he was that he wasn't going to play. Like, I wanted to play, but guess I'm not another week or whatever. I'm paraphrasing here. So there's an opportunity here. And by the way, we saw it with Jamison Crowder yesterday. Now, he played a little bit here, but Rich Simini saying, you know, like, hey, he may be active in an emergency situation, but I'm not sure because of the way the Jets do their roster. And even though he's active, I'm not convinced he's played. We've seen that before as well, where players have been active, but only there in an emergency status. So when Josh Jacobs says... When Josh Jacobs does two posts, he does two different posts. Number one is he says, I'm not playing.
To be fair, they were like back to back in your story where you have like...
Right, where they last 24 hours. But first off, so there's two pieces to this, right? Number one is like, should people have believed Josh Jacobs when he says he's not playing? And you're like, how dare they not see through that? That's a completely legitimate thing to at least wonder, whoa, what's going on? Because that's rare. It is rare for an NFL player to say, I'm not playing, as a joke. In a game in which there are AFC playoff implications, in a game in which there's been a lot of speculation about his health, in a game in which is coming a week after he missed because of injury.
But you're setting it up wrong. Because in
I'm
this
not
case,
setting
no,
what,
you are.
What did I just say that's
because
wrong there?
In this case, this is not the same as Devontae Adams, who announced prior to the game that he wasn't going to play. He thought he was ready. He was obviously a little bit irritated because he felt like he was ready to go. Medical staff felt differently. It was a serious post. There were no crying, laughing emojis. Josh Jacobs put this out after the team put out the inactives. Clyde Edwards-Helaire did not put it out after the team said he was active. Like, yeah, hey, I'm just going to stand on the sideline. It's not consistent with Josh Jacobs, the person, and the way he's been. And he's mocking fantasy teams. I mean, you can wonder about it. I'm not saying, okay, you can wonder why did he do that. But if you look at the body of work and you look at what we talked about, I just think there's no way that he does that based on everything about Josh Jacobs that you know going forward.
Daniel?
I just don't like it when mom and dad fight. Like,
it's just, hey, it hurts my heart. I love you guys so much. Like,
I have a problem. Look, the idea that you saw that and your immediate reaction should have been like, ah, he's obviously joking, I disagree with. Like, there was a pause there. And obviously then, and people were like, and then a couple minutes later, like, we talked about this in the war room. Like, Field and I were like, I think he's probably, you know, no pun intended, joshing and joking. And we all sort of agreed on that. And Adam Schefter, you know, and then there were reports from the Raiders from Las Vegas, seeing him on the field warming up, and, you know, and then Shefty tweeting out, no, he's going to play.
Well, you know what?
So there's two pieces to it. So number one is Stefania and I, we'll have to agree to disagree.
Right.
I don't think that if you were a fantasy manager and you thought for a minute there, like, oh, should I start him or not? I don't think you should feel stupid. I disagree with Stefania there. Oh, I don't think that you should have, like, there's no way.
Mouth. You're not going to get the last word and put words in my mouth. I didn't say you should.
Well, that you said that you shouldn't even think about it. I think you should have. I if you took a pause and you're like, I wonder if this is real. This is all of a sudden now I have a lineup decision to make. I think that's legitimate. I think you should have taken a pause. Go ahead.
I just kind of want to wrap it up and just note this is that, like, two things. First of all, it wasn't like this happened in, you know, before you were choosing to replace someone else with him, right? Like, we got word, it became clear by the time the game began that he was going to play. And if for some reason you did alter your decision on Josh Jacobs, he had 10.4 fantasy points.
Yeah,
so, like, if you replaced
good.
Him with somebody, like, you probably got reasonable replacement. You might have outdone him. And if you played him and that was your plan all the way around, like, 10 right. it's not like his not like he scored 30 fantasy points and you benched him. So bottom line is he played.
Yep.
I think honestly, the bigger takeaway for me is that, like, why can't Josh Jacobs average 4 yards per carry?
Yeah, I mean, look,
I just
look.
It's supposed to be a great offensive line, isn't it?
It's certainly above average. I mean, listen, it was a tough matchup against the Colts, and he came in less than 100% with the ankle injury that Stefania talked about throughout the show on Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning. I'll just say this, and I think you guys know. I'm a Josh Jacobs fan.
Yeah,
like,
former
ride or die. He is somebody that I have interviewed multiple times.
Humble.
And one of the times I interviewed him, Daniel, is I sat down with him for like an hour.
Wow.
Right? And he has an incredible story. He has an incredible story in terms of growing up, of living at times in a station wagon with his father and his brothers. And, like, it's an incredible story of perseverance. And when you meet him in person, he is an easy guy to like and root for. And so up until 24 hours ago, I was a huge Josh Jacobs fan and defender. And I have to tell you, I thought it was such a... there's a word I would love to use, and I can't use it because we're live on air. But I thought it was such a jerk move. I thought it was such a...
Do you want to try the word?
Piece of male anatomy move. I thought it was such a piece of male anatomy move of Josh Jacobs to... I'll explain it to you afterwards. I'll show you on a chart field. look, I thought it was such a terrible move by him to literally put his middle finger up to fantasy managers who, when the Raiders were terrible last year, were still supporting him, were still going out and buying Josh Jacobs jerseys, were still following on social media, were still rooting for him, were still interested in his performance on the field. And just like I say, hey, fantasy managers, don't tag players in your tweets or your social media posts. Don't tag them. They should not worry about your fantasy team. But I would also say to NFL players, don't literally put a middle finger up to fantasy players who are a big part of why you guys make money. In all seriousness, because the NFL players make a significant amount of money from the NFL Red Zone channel, from that contract, from the Red Zone contract. And 80%, about 80%, the last study I saw, I'm not up to date on it, but 80% of Red Zone viewers are fantasy players.
Nice. Yeah, I believe it.
Right?
At least.
A lot of fantasy players also play NFL Madden, and they make a significant amount of money from the royalties from NFL Madden, not to mention the fact that a lot of fantasy players will buy jerseys and other memorabilia. The fact of the matter is, and it drives ratings and interest, which also goes to the overall underlying contract for NFL players. And so... I will always defend an NFL player when some jerk off like tries to tag them on social media and yells at them for not getting enough fantasy points. But how dare you, Josh Jacobs, literally put a middle finger emoji to fantasy players who all they want to know is whether you're playing and you're a starting running back on a team that's in the thick of the AFC playoff race and you missed last week and that's a legitimate news story. Are you going to play?
let's move forward because I understand, you know, you're passionate about it. I get it. But the bottom line is he played again. He's been a disappointment. I don't know how you
put it. He has been. That's the other thing, by the way. If you're crushing like Derrick Henry.
Okay, let's keep it moving here because we got to keep things rolling. Myles Gaskin was placed on the COVID-19 list on Saturday, Stefania, and that meant obviously he was out for yesterday. We'll get into how the Dolphins filled in for him, but could this be a multi-week absence for him?
Well, it could, and this is the thing that we need to remember. It's obviously different with every single player, and the timeline would require that it's at least 10 days when a player tests positive. So we know that that's at a minimum, but then there's also essentially their medical clearance before they're able to return.
So with the Dolphins, we're incredibly shorthanded at all offensive positions yesterday.
Matt Breida, and running backs in particular, because Matt Breida was down, Savon Ahmed out with the shoulder.
Correct. So, and then they obviously lost Devontae Parker. So let me quickly, I'll get your...
And Mike Gesicki.
And Mike Gesicki. So why don't we just hit all those injury updates in one, and then we can sort of spin things forward to what they did. Devontae Parker and Gesicki, what's the latest on both of those players?
No specifics on Devontae Parker, the leg injury. He was actually trying to work out on the sideline, potentially forecasting that he might return, but he did not return to that game. They obviously need him with the loss of Preston Williams this year, so we will stay tuned to see what the details are on Devontae Parker. Mike Gesicki landed hard on his right shoulder, was in obvious pain, was escorted back to the locker room with the medical staff supporting his arm. So no detail on the injury, but I thought Tua's comments after the game, talking about how they were, you know, thinking about him and they're just going to have to step it up in his place. He didn't say in his absence, but along those lines, certainly gave the impression that Mike Gesicki will be out for a while.
Yeah, without being too specific.
Right.
It's not good. It's not good with Mike Gesicki. So make other plans at tight end for week 15 and potentially 16 and 17 as well. So the Dolphins were without, as we mentioned, Myles Gaskin, Savon Ahmed, Matt Breida, obviously Jordan Howard's now a Philadelphia Eagle. No Devontae Parker for half of this game. Mike Gesicki leaves after scoring again yesterday, I think 2 touchdowns. He was very, very good for the Dolphins. We saw a lot of, as unlikely as this may have seemed, Patrick Laird, Lynn Bowden Jr., and DeAndre Washington. So I think those are the two players, Washington and Bowden, that I think are sort of fantasy relevant for this week. So Washington led them in terms of pure running back carries. He was 3 snaps behind Patrick Laird. This is a goofy game. Obviously, Miami showed a ton of heart and fight against the Chiefs. Laird played a good amount, but it's Washington who I think has the most intrigue going forward at running back because he handled 13 attempts for them, most on the team. Bowden is an interesting player. He was a quarterback during his final season at Kentucky. Gets drafted by the Raiders in the 3rd round and then traded before he even plays a snap for them, which is incredibly uncommon. He is eligible at running back and wide receiver right now on ESPN Fantasy. Okay. He had 9 targets yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
So while I think Washington is the more valuable pure running back, right? Bowden might be actually more... There might be more utility there because you could flex him, right? You could play him at wide receiver.
Even though he's going to be a wide receiver, you can play him at running back because that is a position he played in college, obviously. And there was some talk of – because they used him a bunch of different ways at Kentucky.
Yep. Yeah, he basically graduated to quarterback during his final year because they needed him to. But, yes, right
but
now
he played some running back at Kentucky as well.
And so he's an interesting player.
He's a Swiss Army knife type player. Yeah. And very interesting and given, like, again, as we just talked about, like, we don't know about Gesicki. We don't know about Devontae Parker. We know Preston Williams is going to be out. And so, listen, they got Mac Hollins, who I've always sort of liked. I liked him when he was on Philadelphia, could never really crack the lineup there with the Eagles, but is just a player that I've always sort of liked. And so there's some interesting things there, but I agree with you because I thought Washington, the argument for Washington at the moment is volume, right? I mean, like, I don't think he did anything yesterday that was impressive. Right, and I felt like towards the end of the game they were going much more with Patrick Laird, and they got in close, and they were still Patrick Laird, who's more of the pass catching running back, and yet they gave him like a goal line carry. Like, doesn't feel like they tried to get DeAndre Washington going, and he just couldn't.
Yeah, it's a game script thing, though. If you think the Patriots game on Sunday will be more competitive than the Chiefs game was, and I know the Chiefs game finished competitively, but at one point they were up 30-10 over the Dolphins, and I think you favor Washington in terms of ranks for this week.
That I would agree with, but I'm just saying, like, to your point, Bowden versus Washington, if you're looking for the Miami running back, again, because they both qualify at the position, I would prefer Bowden. I would prefer to pick up Bowden to play at my running back position than DeAndre Washington this week. As Stefania mentions, there's a chance we see Savon Ahmed this week as well.
It's possible. By the way, Keith, not cool Keith, chiming in via text message.
Okay.
He goes Bowden. 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 I thought Bowden, you know, one of those names that like will be, it was like
Bobby
Kamara for all those years, yeah. Right? It was Kamara, Bowden. Kamara. We're sticking with Bowden for the rest of this show. Let's move things forward, though, okay. As Daniel's giving me
Well, I will just say this. I don't think I know anyone in my life that watches as much sports, including college football, as Not Cool Keith.
That's true.
That is
so if Keith says it's Bowden, it's Bowden.
It's Bowden, as far as we are concerned. Stefania, Brandon Cooks was out yesterday. Sort of a surprise to some, not so much to others. What's the latest on his status?
Well, we don't have much of an update other than that he was inactive. You know, it's interesting. The week prior, if you recall, he left the game, was evaluated for a concussion, and ultimately returned. And then he was listed on the injury report at the start of the week with a neck issue. And often these neck and head injuries can go together. So while that hasn't been overtly stated, my suspicion is that this probably goes back to last week's injury and then the foot injury on top of it. So just not enough to risk putting him out there. But since it was questionable up until just before the game, you know, over the weekend, I think there's a possibility that you could see him back this week.
Okay. That would be obviously very useful for the Texans offense, who yesterday was so incredibly depleted. They play the Colts this upcoming weekend. So filling in, if you're going to add a Texans wide receiver, I actually think there's sort of two names to know. Kiki QT, week 14, 3 catches on 3 targets, 24 yards and a touchdown. So not great, but Chad Hansen.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter's long shot in Fantasy Football Now yesterday had 7 catches, was productive, and Schefter said he's going to play a lot. And although Cooks has a chance to be back this week, like it's Deshaun Watson. And it's not like they're like, you know, jam-packed with great tight ends and running backs Ooh. Right now. You might actually be able to throw a dart at either Chad Hansen or Kiki QT in week 15 and maybe land yourself 10 to 15 fantasy points. Stefania, a year of injuries for the 49ers and Deebo Samuel continues yesterday, and he played and then he didn't, like really quickly, first play of the game.
Right. And this could be season ending. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a hamstring injury earlier this year. Kyle Shanahan talked about it being a significant hamstring injury. He's headed for an MRI today. But yeah, unfortunately, this it's such a shame. And I obviously have a lot of personal emotion in the 49ers. I just, you know, you don't know what to do. This is really uncanny, the number of injuries that they have had. And this is something we'll talk about in the offseason for sure.
I'll tell you what you can do, Stefania. You can put Brandon Ayuk in your starting lineup. That's what you can do.
This feels a little bit like I almost don't want to say this, because I feel like a bunch of Vikings and other fans, maybe Broncos fans, are going to come after me. But I sort of wonder what Brandon Ayuk's production would look like in a different offense. Not that the 49ers aren't a very incredibly well-coached offense, but with all the injuries right now and no Jimmy G for a while, Brandon Ayuk is a flat-out beast. He's a beast. Yeah. 10 catches on 16 targets yesterday for 116 yards. Goodness gracious. He's over 17 fantasy points in 5 straight games.
Yeah, you know, like they're using him a bunch of different ways. They're finding creative ways to get him the ball. 9 targets now or more in 4 straight. Cost me a playoff game. War Room League. Like, you know, like I'm in the War Room League. I was the number 1 seed, 10-3 record, most points, led wire to wire. But Deebo Samuel, I'm playing against a guy that had Brandon Ayuk. And, you know, like he got crazy production. The guy I'm playing got crazy production from Cam Akers on Thursday night. Then Deebo Samuel goes down and Brandon Ayuk gets 16 targets. Like I had a very good day. And yet, but like every, you know, he got 20 points from the Cardinals defense. Just one of those very frustrating. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Welcome to fantasy football. But, Brandon Ayuk, like, you know, cost me a playoff game and is going to win a lot of fantasy matchups for players over the next couple of weeks.
Stefania, anytime a player leaves a game due to illness this year, we're obviously on high alert. And that was the case for the Broncos tight end Noah Fant. And this, again, very early in the game.
Especially when we saw a player recently be taken out after warmups, reportedly due to a positive COVID-19 test. And now that they are testing on game day, this is always a possibility. As soon as they get the results, if those results indicate a player has tested positive, they will remove him. So we did not know that right away. Vic Fangio later explaining that he thought it may have been food poisoning for Noah Fant. He did test negative for COVID-19 on Sunday. So while food poisoning, as anyone who has experienced it, is very unfortunate, the hope is that Noah Fant will be back sooner rather than later.
Okay, hopefully have him back next week. I'm sorry, if you start Noah Fant, like, there's nothing you can do about it, nothing anybody could have done about it. That's how the world works on occasion. Matthew Stafford,
Noah Fant in another league cost me a playoff win.
You know
I lost by like 5 points.
No, but you are at some point. Next 10 years, fantasy football will do something good for you.
You think so? You think it's going to work out for me?
You just keep plugging away, and fantasy football might be working
very upsetting
out in your favor.
I did take down Tom Holland in the Agbo Superhero League playoffs. By the way,
nice NBD.
NBD, but just whatever. Tom Holland is super famous and super rich and super beloved, but when it came to fantasy football, pow.
Yeah, I'd say a couple of those apply to you as well. Stefania, a couple of quarterbacks get injured yesterday. Unfortunately, Matthew Stafford, who's not just dealing with a thumb issue now, but also ribs, seems to be the injury of the month for quarterbacks.
Well, we're waiting to find out just how much, is it just bruising? Does he have a cracked rib, a fracture? Where's the location of it? Those are all things that will factor into what the plan is for Matthew Stafford. Let's not forget, this is a guy who had multiple fractures in his back last year and was trying to play through it. So again, a lot of it depends on the location, severity. We've seen once they found out that he had multiple rib fractures and a punctured lung, he was out. They're not going to take chances if they do, in fact, see that he has a rib fracture in a bad location.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on this one throughout the week. Chase Daniel would take over for the Lions, who got great production again from Marvin Jones yesterday, filling in for Kenny Galladay as the number one wide receiver. Last one here, Stefania, not a ton of fantasy relevance, but certainly a player that's beloved by all and someone that you know very well. Alex Smith left the game for Washington yesterday.
Yeah, and when you see that it's his right leg, immediately you get nervous. I think everybody did. But if you saw on the sideline, they were trying to stretch it out. And remember, his calf muscle was part of the muscle flap that they used to cover the area where he lost all that soft tissue. So they took a portion of that right calf. And so the anatomy it's different down there. And if you think about all the work he's done in the last few games and that he's been the starter and playing the entire time, it's a lot of load on that muscle that is already significantly less than what it used to be. So it's not a total surprise that something like this would happen. The good news is that they believe it's short term. And so we'll take it one day at a time and see what happens.
So that obviously, again, it's a great story about how he's performed this season. Washington's a great story. He's 6-7 right now, now in sole possession of first place in the NFC East, and they're certainly within striking distance of the playoffs. Dwayne Haskins took over yesterday, and a reminder, always stay ready because you never know when your number may be called. Again, you go from first string to third string to back to first string right away. We're coming back we'll come back in just a little bit with more on players that were popular on playoff rosters, but maybe are holding you back a little bit right now. But first, do you want to rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
The rising generation of NFL superstars have been dropping dimes and creating in space for years, way before they got into the league. And now, it's your turn. Create your own highlight reel with X-Factor abilities and innovative new skill stick controls. Swag out and win in style in new backyard football-inspired mode, The Yard. Celebrate your style, showcase your creativity, and rise to fame in a way that only you can. Go all out in Madden NFL 21, available now.
The thing about the playoffs is what we typically tell you to do is don't overthink it too much, right? You want to play the players that brought you to the playoffs. Well, some players do not hold up their end of the bargain. I don't know if it's a rookie wall.
True.
I don't know if it's defense is catching up to him. I don't know if it's maybe I took the cheese and just crowned him, anointed him too quickly.
Could be
Justin Herbert.
Could it be the haircut?
No, but he was good after the haircut right away. He was good right away after the haircut. But Justin Herbert, the most popular quarterback on playoff rosters, 59% of leagues, Justin Herbert was on a playoff roster. How about that? Three straight games, under 16.5 fantasy points. Yesterday, 243 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Not a bad matchup. The Falcons, they stink.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert. Is something wrong there, Matthew? Something wrong, you think?
Something's off. I mean, first off, the Falcons defense has played better recently.
But we're still.
But I mean, come on.
Yeah.
He should be matchup proof.
Right.
In theory. And he just wasn't. You know, it's something's clearly off. And I don't know what it is. You have two thoughts?
Yep.
I'd like to hear both of them.
First one, not running at all. He's got -2 rushing yards over his past 3 games.
Yeah.
Prior to that, he was averaging nearly 21. Two. Part of what made Justin Herbert so spectacular at the beginning portion of the season is all of these like vertical shots down the field to like who knows, right? It was like Jalen Guyton and like guys getting called up from the practice squad and the AAF and the XFL. Those have just evaporated. Yeah. Now those are hard to count on weekly anyways, but really
and Mike Williams didn't. Mike Williams left this game early with an injury, I believe.
Tavanya, is that true? Do you have any information on that?
He did. He did leave early. I believe it was back injury, but I need to double check.
So, anyways, but the point but is so
that
I mean
that hurts obviously too. Yeah.
Yeah, because the vertical shots are gone. They just are. He's and so that's my thought.
Can I ask? And I'm gonna. This is gonna be a little bit weird too.
Sure.
Do you think Austin Eckler's return has anything to do with it? Which seems weird to think in theory that, wait, you add a really good player and that makes his... But with less of the offense on his shoulders, because before when you're out there with Kalen Ballage, right, you know, and whatever, Josh Kelly and, you know, guys that weren't really Troy Maine Pope, you know, guys that weren't doing much, it felt like they had to be more vertical. They had to be throwing more. And I don't have the numbers here in front of me. Maybe Thirsty Kyle can look all this up. But I wonder what Justin Herbert's numbers are since Austin Eckler has returned, because Eckler has certainly gotten a heavy workload since he returned. Like, I know that sounds weird to say, but I just wonder if there's a disruption in the rhythm of the offense. And even though on an overall basis, the Chargers are obviously a better team with Austin Eckler there, does that for some reason hurt his fantasy value, Justin Herbert's? I don't know. Like maybe they're like, again, this is total spitballing here, but like, are they maybe because their offense is better, they're possessing it more, and you know they're having more sustained drives. You're not in crazy comeback mode, which is what they were sometimes with Herbert earlier in the season.
I don't know. Because they were in crazy comeback mode last week, right? Yeah. I mean, they lost by 6,000 points last Sunday.
Quick note, last 3 weeks when Austin Eckler has been back, he has 24 receptions, 11, 4, and 9. So he's getting a ton of work in the passing game, but I just wonder if that, like you were saying, Matthew, and I don't have an answer for this either, if that short passing game usage was something that was more down the field, and now that's changed and he's looking shorter to Austin Eckler with this heavy volume of work.
Right, well, which helps fantasy managers of Eckler. You're getting 11 receptions or whatever. You're like, great, but if it's 11 receptions for like 70 yards, like
11 for 85, 4 for 32, and 9 for 67.
I think you take all that, to be honest with you. From a running back, I think you take all that.
We're thrilled with Eckler's production. I'm just saying, Herbert, like, you know what I mean? Like,
let's do this real quick.
Yeah.
Must start?
Justin Herbert?
I'll make a quick. No, it's not. He's not an obvious.
He gets the Raiders on Thursday.
I know. But there are definitely players that you could add, or you may have had, like, I have one, a good friend of mine text me yesterday morning, would you play Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert this week? I said, I said I would go with Lamar. We'll see if, you know, it's not a huge bar to clear, but my instinct was, like, go with Lamar. And if he's dealing with that now, he'll be dealing with it again next. Jalen Hurts, available in 92% of leagues.
Yeah, listen, that's the other thing is that there was, like, a bunch of big-name quarterbacks that sort of fell flat yesterday. And there were a bunch of, like, Mitch Trubisky had a monster game.
Did, yeah.
Drew Lock had a monster game.
Right.
Jalen Hurts had a monster game. So a lot of quarterbacks that are out there in a ton of leagues lit it up in week 14. I'm surprised they all didn't play against me in various playoff games.
Yeah, they probably did. All right, let's keep moving forward here. Kyler Murray, another quarterback.
But there's another guy.
Who's just kind of petered out a little bit. I mean, he's not been terrible by any stretch, but second most popular quarterback on fantasy playoff rosters this year. And he had 18.5 fantasy points. Must start?
No. I mean, like, home to Philadelphia, like, probably you're starting him. You're probably starting Herbert if you've managed to get this far. But I don't know that either guy is a must start. You're not even considering any other options. I agree with you. You know, the thing that the positives of Murray yesterday was that this, you know, 3-game stretch where he hadn't done very much. He had not been running. And so he got 13 runs yesterday, 13 yep. rushing attempts, which certainly helpful. But if you look a little bit closer, a lot of it was, you know, the play had broken down. Like only 5 of the 13 runs on Sunday were designed runs. Okay. So listen, even still, like, you know, 5 designed runs is more than he had, like 15 rushing attempts total the previous 3 games. So at least it was, they're trying to add it back a little bit. But before their week 8 bye, 64% of Kyler Murray's rushing attempts were designed runs, not scrambles because the play broke down. Post their week 8 bye, just 48%. So there's been a significant, whether it's because of injury, because the offense is changing, I think it's probably a combination thereof, but they, Kyler Murray is not running the way he used to, and that was what was making him, that was part of what was making him a fantasy superstar.
No doubt about it. Also, there are some people that are very smart that follow the Cardinals offense, and I don't want to call it predictable, but have noted that, like, this offense hasn't evolved much during this season, and maybe defenses are able to hone in on what they do so frequently. Daniel, what do you got?
I just wanted to say another, Kyle put this on the note. I thought it was really telling. 10 rushing touchdowns in his first 9 games. We're now in week 14. He has no rushing touchdowns since week 9.
Certainly has been less productive in that regard. Let's move forward to Chase Claypool.
And they've been using Kenyon Drake more.
Chase Claypool, also a very popular player on playoff rosters. And, like, this is what happens. Like, remember at the beginning of this, so I'm not going to defend the decision because it was just a series of bad moves made by me in the War Room League this year. But at one point, I had the number one waiver priority in the league, and I made a deal with Chris Mortensen, who I traded away that number one waiver priority, and in return received Darius Slayton, who at the beginning of the season was showing some signs of promise. And Mort said, okay, go ahead. I'll take Chase Claypool. This is a 16-team league with some of the smartest football minds that I think you'll find anywhere.
Yes.
Claypool was available at that time. So, like, I'm not talking about this is like Chase Claypool up to 3 touchdowns. The reason why I mention that is that, like, there was a long stretch where Claypool was kind of blip on the radar here or there, right? Like, there were some great blips, but they were blip on the radar. Then he went on the ridiculous run, and now he's kind of been more of that blip on the radar player for the past few weeks, as in the 3 games since week 10, he's got 2 red zone and 1 end zone targets in total. Like, he's going to be a big play-dependent receiver in an offense, by the way.
That's struggling.
That stinks.
Yeah.
They stink. That's the least impressive 11-win offense. I mean, that's
brutal.
Maybe that's hyperbole, but, like, that team last night, like, that was the last remaining undefeated team. They looked JV compared to the Bills, didn't they?
Yeah, they really did. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, you know, after my Washington team beat them down, they've had to play. They've had a weird schedule.
Come on.
They've had a weird schedule. They've had a truncated schedule. They've had to play a lot of games in a short amount of time. But I agree with you.
They played 13 games in 14 weeks, just like every other team in the NFL.
I understand.
I don't want to hear it.
Okay, fair enough. Then I won't say it to you. But yes, the offense is broken. Their defense has obviously, you know, suffered some injuries as well, but the offense looks awful. I started the league in which I had Noah Fant. I'm in a different 16 team league, and I was the 2 seed, and my quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, my other running back, one of my running backs was James Conner, and my tight end was Noah Fant. So that did not go well for me.
How many points are you winning by?
I'm not. I'm going to lose. Obviously, I'm losing that one. Also, Alvin Kamara, who's, like, suddenly taken a tank with Taysom Hill there. And Terry McLaurin. It was just one of those days.
How come nobody can catch the football on that offense? Can I just ask? Like, it's a really dumb, obvious question that I feel like everybody and
they can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, like, Deontay Johnson.
Eric Ebron, we've known about for a long time. Deontay Johnson had, like, 100 drops last night.
Maybe Eric Ebron brought it to the team.
Wow.
From his days with the Lions.
Yeah. Wow. Stefania with a shade. Wow.
One more.
But it is an offense that feels broken in many, many ways. If there's a positive, it's that they play the Bengals next week, and maybe that cures back on a normal schedule, right? So, I mean, they play a game Sunday. They got seven days. They play another game next Sunday, and they're at Cincinnati. And so maybe that's a game that sort of gets them right.
Yep.
But I agree with you. It is hard for me to sit here and say any Steeler is a must start. These are all decisions that we'll be talking about throughout the week.
No question about it. Let's move forward to the league winners section of the podcast. A couple of guys that are trending in the right direction. Finally, Cam Akers. We discussed him a bunch last week on the podcast and said, like, this might be a player that can take this job and run with it. And he was terrific on Thursday at 171 rushing yards. He had 2 catches for 23 yards. 21.4 fantasy points without finding the end zone. He outsnapped Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown by 44 snaps each. He had 50. Both of them had six apiece. It's his job, Matthew. I mean, the schedule sets up beautifully for the last 3 weeks. Jets, Seahawks, Cardinals. I know the Jets have been okay against them, okay, but I'm not scared of any of those run defenses going forward, and it's his job. It is his job right now. I mean, I know things can change, and they are fickle. Every coach is. That's okay. That's what they're allowed to be. But I would be surprised if it's not Cam Akers as the go-to Rams back for the final three games.
You know, they've always said in Los Angeles they want to play the hot hand, and whose hand is hotter than Cam Akers right now? I mean, it was an incredibly impressive performance last Thursday night against the Patriots. He looked every bit the part of the highly touted rookie that he was coming in, right? You know, and look, I sort of feel bad for Daryl Henderson, who I feel like hasn't gotten kind of a real fair shake, but it is what it is. Welcome to life in the NFL.
Really good utility player, but he reminds me of, like, I think grow into the impact that Nyheim Hines has.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, something like that. I could see that. But look, if you're the lead running back in a Sean McVay offense, more often than not, good things are going to happen. Like, he is a run-friendly coach. He is obviously really good at scheming players into the right fit. And, I mean, that's the thing, is it's like Bill Belichick is as good a defensive coach as there is in the history of the sport. Mm-hmm. And even in a year in which, you know, the Patriots are depleted somewhat, they had no answer on Thursday night.
None.
For what Sean McVay wanted to do. Like, not one. And, like, you rarely see a Belichick team get dressed down like that, and they did.
Yeah.
Like, they ran however they wanted to, and so, you know, now with 10 days, basically sort of a mini bye to prepare for a home game against the Jets, I haven't done my rankings yet, but I would be surprised if after I've done all my projections and my rankings that Cam Akers is not inside my top 10 this week.
That sounds about right to me. Not far behind, maybe even ahead of him, could be David Montgomery. And
yeah,
good things come to those who wait. As David Montgomery, who would have thought it? Seriously, like the player that everybody, or most everybody, was touting going into last season to be this potential fantasy superstar right away, has emerged over the past 3 weeks. All right, 24.5 fantasy points or more in three straight games. The only other players that have done that since the beginning of last season, Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry. So pretty good company to keep. Yesterday, opening play of the game, 80 rushing yards and a touchdown for David Montgomery. Credit where it's due. He's looked much better, Matthew. And I'll tell you what, I play in a league where he was dropped during the Bears' bye week, and I just went and grabbed him.
Nice.
But he shouldn't have been dropped in the first place. But like that's how far it's a reflection of how far he had fallen in terms of favor, right? I mean, is a player who, us included, we were like, David Montgomery, not going to happen. And it's happening right now. Good for him.
It really is. I mean, it's been somewhat schedule related because their schedule has been ridiculous. But by the way, the Bears' schedule is amazing. At Minnesota next week, then at Jacksonville in week 16, home to the Packers in week 17, over 110 total yards and a touchdown, three straight games. He's had over 24 fantasy points in three straight. And Kyle notes that here's the list of running backs that have done that since the beginning of last season. A three-game stretch with over 24 fantasy points.
Yep.
Christian McCaffrey's done it four times. Derrick Henry's done it once.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the list. That's the entire list. And so, like, credit Matt Nagy, who took, and I think deservedly so, a lot of criticism this year for their offense. But, and somewhat has been schedule-based, but out of their bye, the Bears' offense has been humming.
They've
like,
been much
you know what I mean? It's been, it like, there's still problems with that team and that franchise, but the offense has looked good, and Montgomery, it has taken a long time to get here, but yes, Montgomery is kind of a locked-in fantasy starter for the playoffs.
The only reason why he wasn't the good news of the day is that the Geico good news of the day is actually Jonathan Taylor, who, speaking of a player that has sort of realized the potential we had for him in the preseason, that's who you have in the Colts running back, who had 30.5 fantasy points yesterday, 150 rushing yards, two rushing touchdowns, plus two catches for 15 yards. He has been awesome of late. He had 32 snaps yesterday, 10 more than Nyheim Hines, but more importantly, 26 more than Jordan Wilkins. His job, Matthew. It's his job.
He's looked amazing. Like, there were 28 different running back carries by the Colts on Sunday, and Jonathan Taylor had 20 of them.
Great.
Just, you know, just tons of opportunity. Last 2 weeks, he's averaging 7.3 yards per carry. 33 carries for 241 yards. Of course, he caught the touchdown, you know, had the nice play where he caught the pass for the touchdown last week. Like, he's you know, and maybe there's something to be said for sort of rookie running backs taking their time, right? Yep. But, like, it feels like, right, we talk about Cam Akers here. We talk about Jonathan Taylor, you know, sort of coming into their own finally, right? You know, we're still sort of waiting a little bit for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But, like, it's been nice to sort of see, like, Antonio Gibson's been there, and now, you know, obviously he's banged up. But, yeah, listen, both guys, look, Cam Akers, David Montgomery, and Jonathan Taylor are going to decide a lot of fantasy titles down the stretch.
One more player that maybe has a chance to kind of seize the job in his own backfield is Ronald Jones, who yesterday, Leonard Fournette was a healthy scratch. Wow, how far that guy has fallen.
Where are you at? I want to know. I want to know where you at. Where are you at, all you Leonard Fournette defenders?
Well,
when Leonard Fournette was on my hate list in the preseason and you guys yelled at me because he's going to get so much crazy volume in Jacksonville, where are you guys at? And then the Jacksonville Jaguars released him and you guys were silent. And then Tampa Bay picked him up and then you guys started yelling about how he's going to be a league winner because Tampa Bay was going to be in such scoring position and he was going to be the guy and they didn't believe in Ronald Jones. And then you, where are you at? Where are you Uncle Lenny defenders at? I want to know. Someone, where, I don't see you or hear you. Where are you at? Cut by a team in the preseason. A healthy scratch for LeSean McCoy and Keyshawn Vaughn. Keyshawn Vaughn hadn't played since week 8. LeSean McCoy hasn't played since 2012, I think.
Close, yeah.
I mean, come on. Where are you guys at?
Yeah,
where are you at?
Where they're at, where he's at, or where they're at. I don't even know. Whatever. Bottom line is that Leonard Fournette is not the man you want on your fantasy roster. Certainly can be dropped. Ronald Jones delivered yesterday with 15.4 fantasy points. He's like a low-end RB2 now based off of his usage and the offense that he plays in. We're going to come back and talk about more players that may have helped you or can help you the rest of the way. But first, you know, businesses have had to be flexible this year, from working remotely to pivoting their business models for long-term survival and growth. If you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging, especially if you've had to hire for brand new roles. Thankfully, there's one place that you can always count on to make hiring faster and easier. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job boards with one click. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for how much? For free.
What?
At ZipRecruiter.com. That's right. /06010. That's right. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. Let ZipRecruiter take hiring off your plate so you can focus on growing your business. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I was on like a 3-week streak.
Like, I come back for one day and I've missed nothing.
Yeah.
3 weeks.
It was good.
He was real good.
You know what, Fields? I think I know what happened. I think I know why you were on the streak.
Mm-hmm. What was that? Is this my fault? Suddenly my fault?
There was a chair that I was sitting in next to Field, and it just, everything was so smooth.
Some of those Ivy League vibes. Yeah. Just, you know,
you're like the Austin Eckler of this podcast, Matthew. As soon as you come back, right. Justin Herbert starts playing poorly. Yeah. You know what it is?
And then like,
you know,
Herbert right? starts, nice. It starts
It's like
bailing.
A compliment for both of you.
Stefania, have we talked yet about how your 49ers lost a home game to my Washington football team?
A home game they played in Arizona. That's just not even
a good
attempt at an insult.
It was West Coast. I'm just saying, like, it was an easy game for you. It's a game you guys should have won. And yet the San Francisco 49ers and their great defense and Robert Saleh and everything like that, who actually was the defensive superstar? Chase Young.
But you know
two defensive touchdowns for my Washington professional football team. Hail to the Washington professional football team.
I do
Ron
love
Rivera,
Chase
coach
Young.
Of the year.
So you know what? Stefania? I said I love Chase Young.
There you
one
go.
One of my favorite players in the league.
By the way, let me use Chase Young as one talking point for the rest of this season. If you're a team that maybe like you're scraping to get by, like think about what would have happened if the Washington football team beat the Giants last year in that game. No, they lost. Right.
No.
Think about that. If you were, if you didn't have Chase Young right now, think about how different your franchise outlook is right
1,000%.
So sometimes short-term pain has significant long-term gain. Okay, a couple more players that have a chance to potentially help you win your league. We expected better out of Ryan Tannehill yesterday. I'll just be honest with you. He had 212 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. No problems there. 16.5 fantasy points. But, Matthew, the matchups going forward are so good. Detroit, at Green Bay, at Houston. Let's keep this rolling here. Like, can Tannehill find that magic he found so frequently last year?
Yeah, he can. You know, I mean, listen, obviously, Derrick Henry.
Yesterday. Like, 80% of passes.
Like, yeah, I mean, that was the problem is Derrick Henry was just so good and a little bit of bad luck as well. I want to say it was Jeff Swaim, but I could be wrong. But there was a long pass.
Jeff Swaim, yep.
That came like he got tackled like on the 1.5 yard line, yep. And then Henry punched it in. But like, right, if he gets another yard in, it's a long touchdown pass. It's another 40-yard touchdown pass for Ryan Tannehill. Like, you know, just whatever. Solid day. It was certainly solid, but it wasn't what you hoped for. And as somebody who has a lot of Ryan Tannehill, including in the War Room League, where I'm going to lose, where remember I was 10-3 and the number one seed and led wire to wire. I just want to bring that up because it's pretty much all I've got
right
at this point.
Okay, don't worry about it. You have a lot more. You have a lot. Dude, you're back.
I will see. It's
all right, let's keep ripping through here. Yes, Ryan Tannehill set up very nicely. Yes. I still believe in
Detroit,
Ryan Tannehill.
Detroit, Green Bay, Houston for the next 3 weeks. The Titans as a whole. I mean, like Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown. I know Corey Davis was bad yesterday, but Ryan Tannehill, like the entire Titans team, like it's a ridiculous schedule.
And Derrick Henry is not going to run for 200 yards every week. He probably will next week against the Lions.
Right.
But every week after that is still up in the air.
Oh, I don't know. He might. He might. It's Derrick Henry season.
We're at the point of the year where you can also put an eye towards 2021, which is what you should be doing with KJ Hamler. Broncos wide receiver yesterday had 2 catches for 86 yards and 2 touchdowns, nearly 23 fantasy points. I cannot tell you to go and grab him and put him on your waiver wire from the waiver wire and start him. At least that's not my opinion. He's got 5+ targets or a touchdown in 8 of 11 games played this year, but still 5.2 fantasy points over the 4 games prior to yesterday. So very much a player who's going to be a good player, who's going to be a good piece of this offense for the Broncos going forward, but we're not there yet. Who we are there yet with. What do you got, Dan? You want something you want to ask?
No. I'm just talking with Matt Harrington in my ear.
Oh, sorry.
Sometimes we use the camera to do that.
Got it. My bad. T.Y. Hilton, man. T.Y. Hilton. Back in a major way. So we talked about this a ton last week on the show. It's just like my belief was that like the T.Y. Hilton regression this year in the way that it happened didn't make that much sense, right? Because he was good last year. And I know that age catches up to you like that sometimes.
Sure. But still. Why'd you look right at me when you said that?
Well,
you know, honestly.
A little rusty here, sorry. But there is a, like what we have seen recently, phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Sure.
It's great. So
he's been great. I think what I tweeted was, I said, T.Y. Hilton absolutely lighting up consolation brackets right now. Because, you know, like, he's one of those guys, like Cam Akers, like Jonathan Taylor, like David Montgomery, that you use, like, a mid-round pick on, and they didn't do anything until, you know, maybe you got frustrated and you dropped them, or, you know, by the time they finally turned it around, in most leagues,
yep,
like, you were out of playoff contention, but he's been terrific, over 18 fantasy points in 3 straights, he scored in each game, and it's interesting that, you know, Was it on Fantasy Football Now? Was it Jeff Darlington? Who gave us the report that said they start, the Colts start
Ed Werder.
Yeah, sorry. I apologize to both Jeff and Ed. Yeah, so Ed Werder, great report from the Vegas game yesterday on Fantasy Football Now, said how his reporting is that Frank Reich was saying how they start every, when they game plan for a game, Frank Reich and his coaching staff start every game plan with 2 questions. How do we get the ball in T.Y. Hilton's hands and Nyheim Hines' hands? And
right.
So it's taken them a while, apparently, to figure that out. And maybe there was some growing pains between Phillip Rivers and T.Y. Hilton in terms of getting on the same page. But they clearly are now. And look who's coming up next. The Houston Texans.
Baby, let's
like,
go.
You love it. Right. So at Pittsburgh in week 16, you don't love. If you play in week 17, which a lot of ESPN leagues do, they play Jacksonville at home, which you like there. So, yeah, T.Y. Hilton. He's got to be available in some league. I bet you he's not 100% rostered.
He's like 40% available.
That's what I was just going to say. He's available in 40% of leagues. And if you remember, not just this week, but last week he played the Texans. And he put up 8 catches for 110 yards and a touchdown on 11 targets. So,
yeah.
I mean, projecting forward, is this a guy, understanding available in 40% of leagues, is this a guy that you feel like has to be in playoff rosters with what he's done the last 3 weeks, understanding how bad it's been for fantasy managers, and it's an emotional game to say,
yeah,
I'm going to throw out the entire season before this, and these last three games is what I'm going to believe in.
So can I take this one for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
So obviously, like we often say things like, yeah, he's a top 30 wide receiver. What I would say more accurately, though, is that like in a given week, there might be somewhere between like 20 to 35 wide receivers that you trust, right? How you sort, let's say, between 21 or 22 and 35 could very much be, you know, eye of the beholder stuff, right? So if you're going to, like T.Y. Hilton would be part of my 35 guys that I trust this week.
Sure.
He may be at 31. He may be at 25. I haven't figured that part out yet. We'll do our rankings, of course, every week on Tuesday. But
he will most likely make my others receiving votes list for the love-hate list this week.
But someone's going to ask me a question to this effect. Would you rather play T.Y. Hilton or, just going to make this up here, right? Like T.Y. Hilton or if he plays Devontae Parker?
Without
and you're sitting there and you're like, yeah, it's a really great question. I don't know.
I have to look. I don't even know who Miami plays.
They play the Patriots, right? So like T.Y. Hilton or, again, I'm just.
Probably T.Y. Hilton, honestly, in that particular case. Just Parker's numbers with Tua have been bad. Now, he's the last guy standing at the moment, right. So.
I'm just saying, but like players who are of comparable value.
Right.
To that,
it's,
right?
It's a
like,
conversation.
Right. It's so that's what
it's
I think.
A little
is
bit
that,
of like.
It's always going to be what you just lose, right? Like,
yeah.
What do you choose to do? So what I'm saying is that like he's going to be part of a group of players that if he is playing in a fantasy playoff lineup, I'm not batting an eyelash and being like, oh God, like how did that one happen? Right. Like he is part of the group of players that deserves to be in consideration for fantasy playoff lineups.
By the way, I would like to see Field bat his eyelashes.
Oh man.
I mean, I feel like, cause that's not something I would ever do, but I feel like that is something Field would
do. How do you do that? Is it just,
I'm nervous for Field to do it because I just feel like the internet would explode. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like they see a cute puppy or something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We should do a real close up of him, have him do it.
Go ahead. No, that's crazy.
No, that's your eyebrows. Sorry, we got to talk about anatomy still. Those are your eyebrows.
Right.
We'll get there.
I don't know how to do this.
Let's, how about we project
it's
ahead?
It's like you raise your eyebrows, but then it's like, think of like, this is dating myself, but Betty Boop. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's who I think of, right? I mean, you guys
know. I love when Matthew's like, this is dating myself, and it's like a cartoon from like 1942.
Right. Well, but like,
I used to
Betty
watch
Boop
it back
like,
after
no,
college.
No, I've never watched. I mean, Betty Boop is older
back
than I am.
Back when I was a kid,
like,
we would paint Betty Boop on the side of the aircrafts going out to war.
Yeah. On our caves. We would draw them on our caves with our chalk. No,
one.
But you know what
Daniel
I mean. Like,
for the win.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Monday Night
Football.
That's
what I'm thinking. When I think of like batting my eyelashes, I do feel like Betty Boop is sort of that, like, you know, boop, 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 or whatever it was, whatever Betty Boop does. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, Stefania.
Don't you know the whole run like the joke into the ground thing? Yeah.
Okay. That's what I do.
Yeah. Moving on.
Anyway, I just
have 5 minutes
left on the show.
Anyway,
Monday
like, whatever. He should, whatever. Field Yates should do it. Yeah. Do a batting your eyelashes. Right. Put that on your Instagram. Make it a thirst trap.
Okay. Yeah. You know me. All right. Stefania, quickly on the tight ends tonight.
Yes.
Mark Andrews and Austin Hooper. Two notable updates here in this Monday Night Football.
Right. Mark Andrews is going to play in this game. And here's a little stat for you. 5 touchdown catches in the last 3 games against the Browns. I spoke with Jameson Hensley, who covers the Ravens for us, and he said that Mark Andrews was a full participant in practice all week, something you wouldn't necessarily otherwise know because when players come off the reserve COVID-19 list, they're not on the injury report. He said he looked good moving around in practice to him, so Mark Andrews is a full go. On the other side for the Browns, Austin Hooper, not expected to play with a neck injury, did not practice Friday or Saturday, and he is expected to miss this game.
Matthew, I need 1.7 points from J.K. Dobbins tonight to win a playoff matchup. How confident are you that I'm getting it?
100%.
Thank God. Oh, seriously, though, like how much you're expecting out of him tonight? Do you believe this is his backfield unto himself now going forward? Or
I don't. I think he's going to be the head of a three-headed monster, and if I'm starting a Ravens running back, it's J.K. Dobbins, but you'll see enough Gus Edwards and Mark Ingram to be annoyed if you have J.K. Dobbins. You have free J.K. Dobbins. I will say that, listen, and by the way, the Browns have a good run defense. Like, this is not a cakewalk for Baltimore.
Sure. Lamar Jackson was awesome last week. Can he keep it up? Can he be an MVP again tonight?
I think he can be. You know, the only concern here with the game tonight is you have two very run-heavy offenses. Like, how much, you know, because the Ravens, when they're going great, are like a really fast-paced offense. But I think the Browns' strategy tonight will be, and rightfully so, to try to slow the game down. You're going to see a lot of Nick Chubb and a lot of Kareem Hunt, and we're going to just try to run the ball as much as possible. Now, the Ravens are tough to run on. They got Williams back, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But that would be my only concern, is I think there's going to be a lack of possessions in this game on both sides of the ball.
We were just talking about how there's like 30 to 35 wide receivers that if you have them in your lineup next week, I'm like, yeah, I get it. Hollywood Brown is one more good game away from being part of that group, in my opinion. Back-to-back games with a touchdown for him. The Brown secondary has been a bit banged up with injuries of both cornerback and safety. Big opportunity here for Hollywood Brown to continue to sort of cement his status in that playoff bucket of wide receivers. We are back on Tuesday with a full recap of Browns and Ravens. We will be on to the second week of the first round of the playoffs here in ESPN. For Matthew and Stefania and Daniel, I'm Field. Great to have you back, bud. Let's do it again.
Thanks, brother. Bye. Great to be back. Go Kareem Hunt. Peace out.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.